イジプトとか、
We will continue with our reading of Exodus. So if you would open in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs, and the Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and into your bedroom, and on your bed, and into the houses of your servants, and on your people, and into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs will come up on you and your people and all your servants. Then the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, Stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, The honor is yours to tell me, when shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people, that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile? Then he said, Tomorrow. So he said, May it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people, and they will be left only in the Nile. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, Stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. And the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Now the Lord said to Moses, Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of insects on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of insects, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. And I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall occur. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of insects into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of insects in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Go, sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, It is not right to do so, for we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. Then Moses said, Behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of insects may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow, Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of insects from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. Thus reads the word of God. Exodus 8:8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." As we read about the plagues that the Lord brought on the Egyptians in order to show himself as the Lord God Almighty, ruler of heaven and earth, please be aware of something that may very much be part of our thoughts and hearts. It is an element of how we respond to God when He is at work in our lives. It presents itself when we are facing a difficult or trying time and turn to God and ask Him to alleviate our distress. We may do so with the very best intention to follow through with a renewal of attitude and commitment to be more honoring to God in the life that we live. However, once we are delivered from the heat of the moment and from our distress, we may tend to slip back into old habits or explain away the reason of our deliverance through some more human ideological stance. We return to the manner in which we were always living our lives without any more regard for God and His place in our hearts and minds. Even those who do not know God in the manner of our upbringing within His church will make a jailhouse confession in their distress, often with no real intent on serving God once they're released from their torment or tribulation. This is what we see in this morning's passage, as Pharaoh called upon Moses to intercede for him before the Lord in the removal of the frogs and the insects from the land of Egypt. He may have made a very well-intentioned request with the promise of letting the people go until those pests were gone. Then, once the vermin were no longer an issue, Pharaoh reneged on his promise and continued to keep the people of God in slavery. This seems to be an attitude within humanity in terms of trying to make deals with God in order to avoid consequences. We see God as an entity with whom we can bargain and negotiate in order to make the best possible deal that will serve our purposes and our interests in the defilement of our own hearts. Pharaoh embodied the very core of this mentality as he assured Moses over and over again that he would honor the command of the Lord to release the people if God would remove those elements of the plagues from him. Exodus 8:28-29. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me." Then Moses said, "Behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord, that the swarms of insects may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Yet, every time the plague was removed, Pharaoh refused to honor his pledge, which only served to bring another more devastating disaster in its place. Each time we hear him plead with Moses to intercede, as in Exodus 9:28. "Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." And again in Exodus 10, 16 and 17. Then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and make supplication to the Lord your God, that he would only remove this death from me. As each plague got more severe, to the point of the ruination of the crops and the livestock of Egypt, Pharaoh continually divested himself of his promise and chose rather to keep the children of Israel as his slaves. God was never fooled. He knew the very essence of the man's heart, and God made each succeeding plague a further demonstration that He, God, is the sovereign and almighty, who rules and overrules in all the affairs of humanity. God is not a bargainer, but rather, He used the very deceitful heart of Pharaoh to make absolutely clear to both Egyptians and Hebrews that God Almighty would deliver His people through the might of His own right hand. There is no bargaining with God for preferential treatment or for a better situation. With Him, it is all or nothing, based on the working might of His holiness, His righteousness, His grace, His mercy, His justice, and His sovereignty. While man may delude himself with the making of a corrupt bargain in his heart, God will have none of it. He will answer those who call upon Him in sincerity of heart and mind, but God will never compromise who He is and what He has done in the giving forth of His only begotten Son. It is always mankind who must adjust and change in order to honor and to receive the full blessing of God. Consider that especially with His people, God uses whatever means to bring forth true and honest repentance and a sincere desire to seek His way and His forgiveness and His salvation. When men see themselves as they really are, lost in their sin and trespasses, and then call upon God in earnestness to save them through the grace and the mercy of the love of God in Jesus Christ, His holiness and His righteousness and His perfection will be established day by day, by day, unto the eternal completion that is ours in Jesus Christ. This is not something that we can shun when we don't like the means that God uses. It will be done, and it will be done absolutely, and it will be done consistently to show forth God's glory in our lives. The Apostle Paul encourages us in this truth in Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The children of Israel were constantly learning and relearning this reality as they wandered in the wilderness and as they inhabited the land. After they had turned away from God and sought after the things of the surrounding peoples, God would work to the point that His people would once again call out to Him and seek for Him to forgive and to heal. Numbers 21:5. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that He may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Despite all the mercy and the grace of God going before them, they would get sidetracked into those elements of this age that would only serve to bring forth destruction and disease and pestilence upon themselves. These were the things that God was warning them about in terms of obeying Him and counting on Him and trusting in Him with all their heart and mind and being. Please consider what we read in 1 Samuel 12:18-21. Please turn to it so we can read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 18 through 21. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And you must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile." How often do we find ourselves sidetracked in futility, seeking all these other elements that have no place and can do nothing else but bring confusion and sickness and devastation? We need to turn to the heart and remain focused on turn to the Lord with all our heart and remain focused on the Lord with all our being, seeking His way. The awesome splendor of the Lord God Almighty is heralded over and over again in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. It is there that, in line with our current consideration, we have a very telling Scripture that even the enemies of God will be forced to give Him obedience against their own will. Please turn to Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 66, 1 through 4. "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, 'How awesome are Thy works!' Because of the greatness of Thy power, Thine enemies will give feigned obedience to Thee. All the earth will worship Thee and will sing praises to Thee. They will sing praises to Thy name, Selah." The Lord God Almighty is so splendid and so powerful and so overwhelming and so tremendous that even those who oppose Him will have no option but to begrudgingly give Him their submission and their homage. They will accede to the fact that the greatness and the majesty of the Lord God Almighty is beyond their capability to oppose. So they will have to do all that He declares for them in subjection to His omnipotence. Whether by choice or by overwhelming force, all will obey the every command of God, now and for all of eternity. This is something that we best learn early in our walk on this earth. We need to set aside any thought or any deliberation that we can bargain our position with God and make Him change to suit our thoughts and our concepts and our ideology. Many throughout history have tried to bend God to their will and to their purposes, and none have ever been successful. Even Nebuchadnezzar, one of the arguably most powerful sovereigns to ever reign on this earth, was brought to this recognition, as we read in Daniel 4, 34 and 35. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, "What hast thou done?" Even kings of the people of God tried to get the Lord to work according to their plans and their schemes, and they each failed miserably. As one example, please turn to Jeremiah 37. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8, where we have the Lord's response to Zedekiah. Zedekiah placed his reliance for deliverance not on the sovereignty of God, but on the power of the army of Egypt to save his kingdom. Jeremiah 37, verses 1 through 8. Now Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had made king in the land of Judah, reigned as king in the place of Kenaniah, the son of Jehoiakim. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord which he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. Yet King Zedekiah sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Please pray to the Lord our God on our behalf." Now Jeremiah was still coming in and going out among the people, for they had not yet put him in the prison. Meanwhile, Pharaoh's army had set out from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who had been besieging Jerusalem heard the report about them, they lifted the siege from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Thus you are to say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come out for your assistance, is going to return to its own land of Egypt. The Chaldeans will also return and fight against this city, and they will capture it and burn it with fire. Jerusalem would be sacked and pillaged as a result of not seeking after the will of God and coming unto Him in humbleness of heart and submission to His guidance. Man will never devise a means of getting around all that God makes very clear in the manifestation of His plan and His purpose. The Lord cannot be manipulated. Neither can He be plied with mental schemes or tactics. And neither can He be bought off, as detailed in the following passage in Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, 18 through 24. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. But Simon answered and said, Pray to the Lord for me yourself, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. All the efforts of men to make God their servant, their butler, their equal, in trying to negotiate bargains and deals, will be utterly frustrated. It makes no difference how much effort we put into our reasoning capabilities and logistical endeavors. God is who God is, and He will do only that which will accomplish His perfect and eternal plan. Too many people fail to recognize this, as they feel that God cannot possibly be true to His declared word that salvation is only through the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. They feel that God would never cause them to suffer the anguish of eternal damnation because they are basically good people just trying to make it through the rigors of this life. They attempt to make themselves worthy of heaven through the works and the deeds that they accomplish, while despising the thought that they would have to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The bargain they put forth with God is foolishness, and it is folly in the reality that all God desires is that we hear the good news of Jesus Christ and turn our hearts over to Him for His life to become our life. No bargains, no deals, no other way of it. call upon the name of Jesus and live. That is the only means by which we will come into the eternal life that God has created for those who will respond to His call. So be it. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that He remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." Amen.